You've crushed it. You've built real wealth. But let us ask you something. If you stepped away today, how long will it last?
For many successful families, the uncomfortable truth is this. What they have built works because they're still in the center of it. Right now, your wealth may be strong, but is it complete?
At the Kitty Sisters, we see wealth as a system built across 5 layers. When each one layer is missing, wealth doesn't fail immediately. It fractures quietly. You don't feel it day to day until scale, complexity, or time exposes it.
That's exactly why we created the Where Wealth Breaks assessment. It maps your current wealth against the 5-layer legacy cake, revealing the gap between where your wealth stands today and what it needs to endure beyond you.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessment now at wherewealthbreaks.com.
Imagine knowing clearly and objectively which layers are solid, which relies too heavily on you, and which haven't been built yet. Because building wealth and keeping it require different systems.
This isn't about chasing returns. It's about strengthening the system, holding them together. You've made it. Now the question is whether your wealth is layered, governed, and structured to last.
Ready to find out where your wealth breaks? Take the assessments toward building multi-generational freedom at wherewealthbreaks.com. That is wherewealthbreaks.com.
March 2020, the entire global economy stopped in 72 hours, and we were sitting on a deal with $300,000+ in non-refundable earnest deposit. That money was gone if we walked away, and walking away was starting to feel like the only sane option. By the end of this, I'm going to tell you exactly what we decided and what happened because of it.
Hey, we're Palmy and Nancy Kitty, the Kitty Sisters, and we're here to help you turn earned income into own income and build what actually lasts.
From a $2,000 bank accounts to nearly $500 million in real estate assets, earning our way into rooms we once never thought we belong in. Along the way, we learn success isn't just about making it, it's about making it last.
Here we share money, real estate, and investing strategies, but more importantly, we talk about the systems and decisions that create legacy, certainty, and continuity.
If you value speed, convenience, and execution certainty, and if you're building not just for yourself but for the generations after you, you're in the right place.
This is the first of the family podcast.
But first, I need you to understand what we're actually facing, because the decision made and how we made it is the entire reason this channel exists. My name is Palmy Kitty, the other half of the Kitty Sisters. My sister Nancy and I have scaled to over nearly $500 million in assets, returned $45+ million to investors, and helped family preserve $100+ million in taxes. None of that happened because we were lucky. It happened because of discipline that most investors skip entirely. Stay with me. This property, this is a 100-unit property in Fort Worth, Texas, a C-class multifamily asset, working class neighborhood, 11 minutes from Fort Worth Medical District and Central Business District, sitting on a major highway interchange that saw nearly 200,000 daily commuters. This was not a trophy asset by any means. The first time we toured it, we didn't actually feel entirely safe walking it, to be honest, but we bought it anyway. Because we do not buy properties because we like them. We buy properties because the numbers work. Purchase price, $6.225 million. The seller had already renovated 74 of 100 units. We had 26 remaining units, plus meaningful operational upside, such as utility bill backs, laundry income, reserve parking fees. Those were part of our business plan. We underwrote a 5-year hold, projected total return of 100%, IRR of 13.91%, average annual cash flow of 8%. We had raised over $2 million in soft commitments from investors in just the first 2 days since we sent the email out, before we even held a webinar. The momentum was real. The deal was clean. Plan was tight. Then the world ended. Let me tell you what was actually happening in the world at that moment. In the first 2 weeks of the pandemic, the United States lost 22 million jobs. 22 million, the fastest labor market collapse in American history, faster than the Great Depression. GDP contracted at an annualized rate of 32.9% in the second quarter of 2020 alone. That's not a recession. That's an economic implosion. Goldman Sachs were projecting unemployment numbers hitting 25%. JP Morgan was forecasting declines that would dwarf 2008. The Federal Reserve was injecting trillions of dollars into the financial system just to keep it from seizing up entirely. And if you own apartments, if you own workforce housing that families depend on to survive, the narrative was terrifying. We heard things like this: no one's going to pay rent. Eviction moratoriums means that you cannot remove non-paying tenants. Rental market is going to collapse. These were not fringe opinions. These were the conversations happening across the entire real estate industry. And we heard it every single day as we cycle through our phone. And we're 2 weeks away from closing on a 100-unit apartment complex in a C-class neighborhood in Fort Worth, Texas. You think about how you would have felt at that moment. And then we got a call from our lender. You see, they were no longer comfortable with the original terms that they had secured with us. Previously, the requirement was 6 months of taxes and insurance in escrow. Quite standard, really expected. Now, guess what they were asking for? They wanted 18 months of debt service plus 12 months of taxes and insurance upfront, locked away, untouched. That was $680,000 to be sitting in escrow. Dead money. We couldn't use it for renovation. We couldn't deploy it for operations. It would just sit there as proof that we could weather a crisis nobody had ever seen before. So at that point, we had two options. Keep in mind, we don't have $680,000 sitting around to do this. Option one was to walk away from that $300,000+ in non-refundable deposit. We just lose that money and just have to walk away. Take that hit. Protect our investors from a deal that no longer looked like what they had committed to. Live to fight another day. Option two, stay the course. But what course? Because nothing was the same anymore. Let me be more specific about what had changed, because I want you to feel the weight of this decision. The lender's term had changed. $680,000 now locked in escrow instead of the standard reserves. That money was gone from our operating capital before we even have a chance to operate a single day. And again, we didn't have $680,000 lying around to do this. The financial projections had changed. Our original underwriting assumed rent growth in year two. That assumption was gone. We had to model year one at zero income growth, just completely flat. No increases, none. And keep in mind that in multifamily, increasing income is one of the bloodlines of the business. But with doing this, it means that we had to rip apart every single assumptions we had built and start all over again. We rebuilt the model from scratch, and then again, and then again. And by the time we were done, we were on version 13. Not because we kept getting it wrong, but because the world kept changing underneath our feet. Every time we thought we had the model that reflected reality, reality shifted again. New projections from the Fed, new guidance from the lender, new data on unemployment, new conversations with our attorneys. 13 versions of the truth, because the truth would not hold still. The business plan had changed. We had budgeted $270,000 in capital improvements. These would go towards the remaining 26 units that needed upgrades, security cameras, LED lights, laundry room build-out, playground, parking lot, etc. Most of that was now on hold. We could no longer enter occupied units. Contractors were not showing up. And if they did, they were probably not allowed inside these units. The renovation timeline we had promised our investors did not exist anymore. The investor conversation had changed. The return we had presented, the 85% total projected return in 5 years, that 8% average annual cash flow, those numbers were built on the world that no longer existed. With that, we had to go back to every single investor and explain to them what has happened. And it was a terrifying conversation to tell them that the plan had changed, to tell them the projection had changed, and ask them to decide again. The market itself had changed. Courts were not processing evictions. Tenant had legal protection to stay regardless of payment. The entire operating environment for C-class rental property had been rewritten overnight. One of our partners called me at 6:30 a.m. in the morning. He was done. He wanted to walk. He could no longer see a path through this. And honestly, standing in my house that morning and watching the news, reading the projections, I understood why. We spent days in that space. Real conversations, hard conversations, not pretending we had certainty that we didn't have. Here's the thing, before we could feel certain enough to choose either path, walk away or stay the course, we had to do something. We had to rebuild the model from the ground up. We had to adjust it, not tweak the assumptions, rebuild it with a completely different question at the center. Not how much can we make, but if everything continues to go wrong, if the worst case actually arrives, can this property survive it? Here's what the revised model looked like versus what we originally underwrote. Originally, we projected 3% rent growth in year one. After COVID, zero, flat. Originally, the lender required 6 months of taxes and insurance in escrow. After COVID, $680,000, 18 months of debt service plus 12 months of taxes and insurance. Originally, we planned to begin renovation immediately. After COVID, everything paused. No unit would be accessible. No contractor would be even available. Originally, our profit share as sponsors was 16%. And after COVID, we cut it to 9%. Investors get paid first, full stop. Originally, we were raising $1,956,000 in equity. After COVID, we had to raise an additional capital just to cover the new escrow requirements. Originally, distribution would begin on schedule. After COVID, held cash conservation until we had stability confirmed. And the projected total return, originally 80.34%, was revised downward to 70%+. And I know what you're thinking, how did they manage to get that extra $680,000? Well, this is what we did. We went back to the seller and we renegotiated. We pushed for purchase price reduction. We negotiated $350,000 towards the lender escrow, $50,000 in working capital at closing. And here's the cool part, a 6 month rent guarantee. At that time, this was completely unheard of. How can you guarantee 6 months rent when the world was collapsing? Well, the seller was really confident because he had the data from the property, and we got what we wanted because we wanted the assurance that if something happened to this property, if the rental income dropped, that our property will still be profitable at the end. It was a tough negotiation, but both sides came to an agreement and we got it done. I would say that at that time, we were probably one of the only buyers who was able to negotiate this kind of term with any of sellers in the market at the time. With all the seller concessions effectively bought us protection we didn't have before. The deal did not just survive the crisis forced us to build a better deal. We didn't hide any of this from our investors. We sent full update, every change, every concession, every revised assumption, transparent, direct, and here's what happened. Not a single investor backed out. Some called asking for wire instructions. One investor heard about the deal sitting at a coffee table, called us that same day and said, I want in. Trust is not built in good markets. It's built exactly in these moments. I want to stop right here and explain to you why this video is what it's called. Most investors look at deals through the lens of the upside. They look at the projected IRR, the cash on cash return, the year three and year four numbers on the pro forma, and they ask, how much money can I make? And that question is not wrong, but it's incomplete because the investor who consistently protect their capital, the one who have been doing this through multiple market cycles, through recessions, through pandemics, they are not the most optimistic people in the room. They are the most obsessed with the downside. They ask a different question first, not how much can I make, but how much can I lose? Not how bad can this get? What does the worst case actually looks like and what can survive it? That obsession is not pessimism. It's a foundation of real confidence. In a few minutes, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened to this deal, the number, actual results, what our investors walked away with. But I need you to see the work first because the result only makes sense when you understand the discipline that produced it. The tool that gave us on version 13 of a model in the middle of a global pandemic with $680,000 frozen in escrow, the clarity to even know what question we were asking is called stress testing or sensitivity testing. Three tests, three worst case scenarios, all of them running before we commit a single dollar. Let me walk you through all three. There's a depth in the ocean that submarine engineers call the crush depth. It's exactly the point at which water pressure exceeds the structural tolerance of the hull, the point at which the vessel implodes. Submarine's crew never operate anywhere near that depth. That's not the point. The point is the number exists, that an engineer sat down, did the math, and found the precise boundary which survival is impossible. And because the number exists, because the crew know exactly where the floor is, they can operate with total confidence above it. They're not guessing, they're not hoping, they know. In real estate, the as-is stress test is your crush step. It answers one question. If you do absolutely nothing, no rent increases, no renovations, no value add execution whatsoever, and the expenses rise naturally every year, does this property still cover its debt? The floor of the investment is not your projected returns. It's a minimum the asset produces with zero effort, and it must be enough to cover the debt service. The number has a name, DSCR, debt service coverage ratio. For every dollar you owe your lender in every given month, how many dollars is the property earning? A DSCR of 1.0 means you exactly break even on the debt. Below 1.0, you are in default territory. Most lenders require at least a 1.25 to approve a loan in the first place. If you do not know the DSCR on a deal you are evaluating, you do not yet know what you're actually buying. Here's what we found at our property when we ran the as-is test. Zero rent growth, zero improvements, expense rising 2% each year. Just the asset running on its baseline. Year one, DSCR 1.5%. Year five, DSCR after expenses have climbed for half a decade with zero revenue growth. 1.03. Not comfortable. Not what we projected, of course, but not a default. That is the floor. That's the crush point. That is what we were actually buying beneath all the performer numbers. So when COVID hit and version 13 of our model had stripped every growth assumption from year one, the floor was already known. We had already been there. The crush depth was mapped out. We were nowhere near it. But the as-is test only tells you what happens when income is flat. It doesn't tell you what happens when income falls. Before a commercial aircraft receives its airworthiness certification, before a single paying passenger boards, test pilots fly it to the edge of what is survivable. Maximum operating speed, stall conditions, crosswind limits, and weather no commercial flight ever sees. The plane does not need to perform beautifully in those conditions. It just needs to survive them. Those conditions are not predictions. The engineers are not expecting the aircraft to cruise at maximum structural speed for the entire service life. The test exists to find the breaking point, to confirm that the breaking point is beyond anything the plane will ever face in real operation. Certification only comes after the worst case is survived. The rent shock test is the airworthiness certification for your deal. You don't prepare for the adverse market conditions after they arrive. You certify the deal before capital boards. The question is not whether you think rents will go up. The question is, how far can rents fall before the DSCR breaks, before you cannot cover your debt service? And the scenario you must run must be more severe than anything the market has historically produced. If your deal breaks at a condition competition the market has actually seen, you're not managing risk. You're hoping. For this 100-unit property, we ran a rent shock scenario more severe than anything Dallas-Fort Worth has ever produced till that point. Two consecutive years of 4% rent declines back to back. At that time, the historical worst for that submarket was 3.3% decline per year. We deliberately went beyond that point. The result? Year 2 DSCR 1.26. Again, lenders want to see 1.25 as the floor. In a rent environment worse than anything that had ever actually happened in that submarket, the property still covered its debt service with a margin. That number was not a projection. It was a certification. So when the headlines were screaming that nobody would pay rent, that apartment owners were finished, we had already flown that aircraft to the edge. We already knew it survived. Rents flat, rents free falling, both tests, both survived. But there was one more scenario, the one that keeps C-class operators up at night. What if the tenant stopped paying altogether? When civil engineers design flood infrastructures, levees, drain systems, and dam, they don't design for average rainfall. They don't even design for worst storm of past decade. They design for the 100-year flood. A water event is so severe, it is statistically expected to occur only once a century. In most locations, it's never even happened in recorded history. The lever may never face the flood. The engineers are not predicting it will. They're asking, if it does, if that once-in-a-century scenario arrives, does the structure hold? If yes, build it. If not, go back to the drawing board. The structure must survive what has never happened before, or it doesn't get built. Vacancy nightmare test is your 100-year flood scenario. If your deal breaks under condition the market has already seen, you're not managing risk. You're hoping. In multifamily, economic vacancy is not the same thing as physical vacancy. Units sitting empty. It is a unit that's occupied but generating zero income. Tenants who stop paying rent entirely. In C-class properties, the historical norm runs around 10 to 11%. One in 10 unit every month carrying some level of delinquency. We modeled 20%, doubling the historical norm every year for 5 straight years. That means 20% of the people, 20% of the unit in that 100-unit apartment, they may be living there, they may be spending our electricity bill, all those things, but they chose not to pay rent. So for 5 straight years, this happens. If the deal survived that, it was built. Here's what happened when we ran it. 20% economic vacancy, again, twice as much as historical rate, every single year for the entire hold period of 5 years. DSCR stayed above 1.41 the entire time. Every dollar we owe our lender, the property would earn back 41 cents, even in that scenario that never existed in the market before. The 100-year flood arrived in the model, and the levy, it held. All three tests, every worst case we can construct. Stress test number one, the ask is scenario. No action taken. Expenses rise 2% per year. DSCR results 1.03 by year 5. Real world probability? Low, because we always execute. Stress test number 2, the rent shock. Rents falling 4% 2 consecutive years. Worst case than anything DFW had ever seen to that point. DSCR result 1.26 in year 2. Still cover. Stress test 3, the vacancy nightmare. 20% economic vacancy, not paying every year for 5 years straight, twice the historic norm for this market. DSCR result 1.41 through the entire hold, never broke. Every single worst case, the property survived all three. And here's the part nobody ever asks about, but should. That $680,000 sitting in escrow the entire time, we ended up not touching it, not once. The property cash flowed well enough on its own that we had never had to reach into those reserves. 20 months, a global pandemic, a C-class property in Fort Worth, Texas, and the escrow sat there untouched, exactly the way a well-built deal is supposed to work. The best operators are not the ones who predict COVID. They are the ones who have already survived it in the model before the deal ever closed. The stress test is not pessimism. It's the architecture of calm. So now I want to ask you something. You have seen the model that was destroyed. You have seen the lender terms that change overnight. You have seen the 13 version of the truth. You have seen the partner calling at 6:30 in the morning, ready to walk. And you have seen all three stress tests, every worst case, and what they showed. Knowing everything you saw, what would you have done? Have you ever had a gut feeling to walk away from a deal? What stops you? Or what made you pull the trigger? Drop it in the comments. I want to know the real story. I read every single one. So what did we do? We stayed. We closed the deal in April 2020 in a garage on a folding table with a mass notary who bought her own pen because nobody was sharing anything that year. We didn't stay because we were brave. We didn't stay because we were optimists. We did not stay because we believed the world would recover. We stayed because we had already done the work. We stayed because we had already done the work that told us, with data, not hope, that this property could survive the worst case. I want to say something that I don't say enough. Most passive investors in valuing a deal never see a stress test. They see the projected IRR, a fancy deck, the cash on cash return, the beautiful year 3 numbers on the pro forma, and they make a decision based entirely on the upside. They never see the page that asks, what happens when everything goes wrong? And it's not their fault that they were never shown it. The operators who consistently protect their investors are not the most optimistic people in the room. They are the most disciplined. Disciplined enough to sit down before a deal closes and deliberately imagine every version of failure. To find the crush depth, to certify the aircraft, to design the levy before anyone wires a dollar. Because the market will test your deal. It always does. The only question is whether the deal was built to answer. I told you at the beginning of the video that I would tell you what happened. 20 months later, after we closed on that folding table in the garage during that global pandemic, we sold that 100-unit classy apartment in DFW. Our investor received a 1.5x equity multiple, a 90% average annualized return in 20 months during a pandemic, with $680,000 frozen in your escrow for the entire hold in a C-class neighborhood in Fort Worth that didn't feel safe the first time we walked it. Now, do you understand the title? The investors who made that return were not the ones most excited about the upside. They were the ones who trusted operators who were genuinely obsessed with every possible version of losing. We didn't make money because we were optimistic. We made money because before a single dollar move, we had already survived the crash, the rent collapse, the non-paying tenants, the pandemic, all of it in the model. The upside is what everyone sees. The downside is where the real money is made. We built a stress test calculator based on the exact three tests we walked through today. The as-is test, the rent shock, the vacancy, nightmare test. You put in the numbers from the deal. Someone puts in the number. It runs all the three scenarios. It tells you whether the deal survives in worst case. If it free falls, it takes less than 5 minutes. The link is in the description. And if you are working with a sponsor who had never shown you their stress test, that is the first question you should ask. Show me what happens when everything goes wrong. The answer will tell you everything you need to know about who's holding your capital. Thanks for listening to the First of the Valley podcast. We hope today's conversation left you feeling inspired and maybe even equipped with one idea you can take with you as you turn earned income into own income and build something that actually lasts.
If today's conversation resonates, here's how you can support the show and help it reach more families, investors, and entrepreneurs who are creating a lasting legacy. Hit follow and share this episode with someone who's thinking beyond themselves and into generations after them.
And if you're feeling generous, leave a review. Means more than you know. Those few words help the right listeners find these conversations right when they need it most. By doing this, you're helping families build legacy, certainty, and continuity.
For show notes, links, and resources from today's episode, head to thekittysisters.com.